it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Public health officials have been working for years to chip away at the stigma surrounding mental health care. A mental health crisis center that opens in DuPage County next month is the jumping-off point for this week's discussion about public health, mental health, what we have learned, and what we can learn. I'm WBBM Noon Business Hour host Rob Hart, and we talk about the public health approach to mental health on this week's edition of At Issue.
We're joined this week on the Nat Issue by Lori Carnahan, Deputy Director of Behavioral Health at the DuPage County Health Department, and Deborah Conroy, the DuPage County Board Chair. Thank you for joining us this week on the Nat Issue.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And the Crisis Recovery Center, this opens in Wheaton on September 2nd. The ribbon has already been cut. So what goes on between the opening ceremony, the grand opening early on, and the day it begins accepting patients on September 2nd?
Well, the Crisis Recovery Center is going to be that someplace to go for anybody in a mental health or substance use crisis. And so, yes, we cut the ribbon on Wednesday, and we are just moving into the building, getting things finalized, getting staff familiar with everything that they're going to be doing while they're there. And we're really looking forward to opening.
Now, as you mentioned, this is a place where you can go in lieu of calling the police or going to the hospital, because if you go to an emergency room for a mental health crisis, you could be in that emergency room for a long time.
Yes, absolutely. So we are really hoping that this changes the pathway for people in crisis. So instead of having to go to an emergency room where, like you said, they could sit for a very long time, it's not the right environment for somebody that is already struggling with mental health or substance use concerns. So now they'll have this place to go, which has really been designed for individuals in crisis. It is a safe and warm, calming space and the ability to meet with mental health and substance use professionals at that time. So they don't have to jump through all of the hoops of trying to figure out where they should be. The Crisis Recovery Center is really where they should be.
Now, this is a question for Deborah and for Lori, and that is a lot of governments have said we need to do something about the state of mental health care in this country, in this state, in this county, in this municipality, in whatever local government agency they serve. And it usually stops there. Someone says someone's got to do something, and maybe it's a way of kicking the can down the road on an especially contentious issue. So from a DuPage County government standpoint, when was the decision made to develop this facility? And then walk us through the thought process and the work that was involved in actually making it a reality.
Well, I served 10 years in the General Assembly, and I was the chair of the Mental Health and Addiction Committee, and worked very closely also with Lori in DuPage County because I represented that area. And I would say it was about 2017, between 2017 and 2019, I was continuously hearing from the state level, from people all over the state. There was nowhere to go. Primarily, you would hear from parents on a regular basis. We're not sure if our child is okay. We're not sure what to do. We're not sure who to call. Adults who were struggling and couldn't get an appointment for 3 or 4 months at a time. So originally, I had a meeting with the health department in DuPage, and they had this idea to do a crisis recovery center. And so I brought it back to the state, and with other colleagues from DuPage, got $5 million to start it. To start the money piece of it. When I was elected chair in 2022, I brought with me all the stories that I had heard at the state level. And I said, we're going to do this. And not only are we going to do this, we're going to add a children's wing to it because there is nowhere else in the country that treats children. So that was an area that I felt was incredibly important. And so really, this has been a collaborative effort. We got $5 million from the state. Sean Kasten got us $1 million. My board, the DuPage County Board, unanimously supported giving $15 million of ARPA funds to it. And then the health department also did $7 million. So there's no bonding involved in this. And there are so many people that feel the same way and had the same vision. So putting the right people at the table and collaborating is how we got this done.
And Lori, how does this fill in existing gaps in not only mental health coverage, but mental health crisis coverage? Before this center even was a vision on a piece of paper, if somebody was experiencing a mental health crisis or if somebody was at their wit's end with addiction, where could they go with the existing mental health infrastructure that was out there? And how does this particular facility address those needs?
Yeah, well, I think traditionally they did go to the emergency room or call 911 and have an interaction with law enforcement, maybe end up in jail. So really not the right pathways. At the health department, we've been providing crisis services well before the Crisis Recovery Center. But, you know, we really bucket all of our services in that national model of someone to call, someone to respond, and somewhere to go. So at the health department, we do have someone to call. We have our local crisis line, and we're also a national 988 provider. And we have someone to respond. We have those mobile crisis response teams that go out into the community where that person is in crisis to try to stabilize where they're at in the community. But what we were really lacking was that someplace to go. We have a crisis residential program currently, but that is really small in scope and only treats adults for mental health. So this somewhere to go will be to treat anyone. So anytime that you're struggling in a mental health crisis, in a substance use crisis, if you're an adult, now you have that place to go. That completes the ideal behavioral health system that we want in DuPage County and that we really want nationwide and statewide. So we're really hoping that this model is something that people can look at and transform and do things in their own communities like this in the future.
Now, the stories that you were listening to and hearing from constituents, even going back to when you were in the General Assembly in 2017, how has the conversation around mental health changed even since then? Because it seems like we've learned a lot, and yet we've just begun to scratch the surface.
Well, I think that's true, but I would say, you know, when I was in my third term, I was able to chair a committee, and I told the speaker at the time I want a mental health and addiction committee because it didn't exist. I was told I was crazy and there was no money, and I agreed, yes, I'm crazy, and I knew there was no money, but I said, when there is an opportunity for money, if we don't educate people to the need, we're going to be nowhere. So there was so much work involved in just educating people to the need, and a lot of that happened when we went through the opioid crisis, and the opioid crisis led to the heroin crisis, and now others in that space. But in that time, people were coming to my office and telling their stories. And in that time, you were seeing how addiction and mental health were really dual diagnoses. And so that issue was so incredibly important and rising up and rising up. I would argue that COVID then gave us the ability for almost every single person to tangibly understand what it meant to struggle with their mental health at whatever level that might be because of the isolation. We've had a lot of celebrities come forward and talk about it. And my hope and my feeling is that this crisis recovery center will be the final piece in completely eliminating stigma.
You know, Lori, we talk about what we have learned about mental health conditions and how a lot of people suffered in silence. And even before this level of we arrived at this level of knowledge, this level of research, it's remarkable to think about the ways in which people just went through their daily lives with these conditions that they may not have known that they had.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the stigma is the biggest piece. It really is that, you know, if you are having a health condition, you go to your doctor. Right. You go see what's going on. You want to make yourself feel better. People have, you know, really always said, OK, you know what? I'm anxious today, so I'm just going to get through it. Or I'm feeling down. I'm just going to get through that. Or I don't want to talk about it. It has been such a stigma. And I agree. I do think COVID really did shine a light on some of this to say, you know what? This isn't it's not always a crisis. It's not always a disorder. People struggle. And when people are having a hard time with their mental health or substance use, there's lots of people to reach out to. There's professionals out there. And so it really is, how do I get the help that I need? In DuPage, we're really changing the, you know, you don't have to jump through hoops. You don't have to try to figure it all out for yourself. We're there so you can come to us and we can provide the help you need.
Let's talk very briefly about the stigma, though, because and this is not, maybe it's stigma that society places on a person, or it's a stigma that someone puts on themselves, too. It's like, well, I don't really want to be the center of attention. I don't want to cause a fuss. But when people think about a mental health crisis, they think about, you know, maybe it's a very superlative act, you know, someone who really has a nervous breakdown or somebody who acts out in a violent way. But if you are going through your day feeling anxious, or if you're going through your day feeling down, that's, is it in itself a mental health crisis, or you're on your way there. So what, you know, how, what can you do in that particular situation?
Yeah, and I think the best thing to do in that situation is to reach out. 988 is that perfect number to be able to call to start that conversation, so you don't have to wait until you're in a crisis. I think, you know, it's funny when we talk about mental health and you look back at movies or just the way that things used to be, you know, shown, it was like, oh my gosh, that person is crazy. There's something really wrong with them. And so I think it was to say, okay, well, that's not me. That's not how I'm feeling. I'm just feeling anxious, or I'm just feeling a little bit down. But if it's impacting your day, and if it's something that, gosh, it's really hard to get out of bed, or I can't sleep at night because I'm so anxious about something, that's something to get support on and to reach out and talk to somebody about. And so 988 is that nationwide number now, and that is something that we've been really trying to push, because now you do reach a local center. So if you need something more than that, just that brief support or intervention, someone's there. Someone's there to come out to you, to do a mobile crisis if needed, or they can direct you to ongoing services. And in DuPage, they can tell you to come into the CRC.
Yeah, and I think, honestly, what you said about nervous breakdown, that's part of stigma. You know, when somebody was having a nervous breakdown, they were simply struggling with their mental health, and they hadn't gotten the care that they needed, so it became a crisis. And we called it a nervous breakdown.
You're listening to At Issue on WBBM News Radio. I'm Noon Business Hour host Rob Hart, and we're talking about the new Mental Health Crisis Recovery Center, which is opening in Wheaton on September 2nd. And we are talking to Deborah Conroy, the DuPage County Board Chair, and Lori Carnahan, Deputy Director of Behavioral Health at the DuPage County Health Department. It's a very interesting point that you bring up, because how much the conversation has changed around the, or just around mental health conditions, and how much, you know, maybe insensitive words and phrases regarding mental health conditions have just seeped into the discussion, and we don't know it yet. I mean, I talk about, you know, someone experiencing a nervous breakdown. Well, for the longest time, that was how you could discuss somebody having a mental health episode. So if you are around somebody who's having a hard time, and before even going to the crisis recovery center, Lori, what are some things that as a friend or a relative that you could say or do just to be supportive?
I think the first thing is just to ask if they're okay and what is going on. So really just sometimes reaching out and asking those first questions to make somebody understand that, okay, like it's, I can talk about it. It's okay to talk about it, because sometimes it is. They're just needing some initial support from their family members, from friends, and then to be able to open that conversation. If things are getting worse, to really be able to know the resources, to be able to offer that, to say, gosh, you know, can you call 988? Can we call 988 together? Can we reach out and do some of these things? Because there is support out there and available, but opening that conversation is really the first step.
I think the most interesting thing about the Crisis Recovery Center is the
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mental health portion of this facility, because that is something we're learning more and more about. And it's also a lot more difficult these days, I think, as a kid to navigate the world just because there is another thing in their lives that didn't exist when we were kids, and that is social media. So if you felt down, if you felt anxious, if you were having a hard time getting through your day, now there's this device in your pocket that can make you feel a million times worse.
Absolutely. And, you know, I can't tell you how many youth I've spoken to who have said to me, no one ever asked me how I felt. And when they were in a situation, when someone did, it was in that moment that they felt their lives changed and they were getting the help that they need. It's so important to talk about it. And now it's refreshing to hear like parents of high school kids say, and I hear it on a regular basis, my daughter's really struggling with her anxiety. Well, we all have anxiety, but it's how do we deal with it? So kids need to grow up understanding that. And if we can raise our kids to understand that mental health, it's about your brain. We all have brains. Nothing works if your brain's not working. It's okay to talk about it. And when we talk about it, that's half the battle.
And then, you know, there's an irony in all of this, and that is we have more options to speak out to the world than ever before. I mean, we're speaking in a radio studio right now, but if you as an individual wanted to start talking about your life and what you are dealing with, you can just fire up a live stream on your phone. But even though we live in a world where everybody can say something, it seems like very few people are listening, Lori. And what does that mean for kids who are having a hard time?
Yeah, I think when you're just reaching out to, you know, the air, essentially, so people are putting things on their social media, and unfortunately, the responses aren't always great, and you don't always get the help that you need. You know, I'm a parent of a high school student and a soon-to-be middle schooler, and see this all the time when all of a sudden there is conversations about what's happening in different places or who's talking about who. You know, all of that, it's normal teenage experiences, but it's highlighted because now there's that social media piece, because now everybody knows what's going on and everybody has something to say about it, right? And so if you put it out there in a way that, you know, you can talk about it, you also have to be careful about that, because sometimes the responses in those avenues aren't always good and healthy, and you get the wrong type of responses. And so really, you know, being able to talk about it in a different way, making sure that they're looking at social media and, you know, websites that are appropriate to be able to talk about these types of things, because there is a lot out there. A lot has changed with the social media platform, and it's a great thing, but it also is something that can be a little bit scary at times for kids.
I think it's very easy to bag on social media because it is. I mean, the research exists. The numbers are out there. We know what type of we know the adverse effect that social media platforms have on teenagers, and just ramping up and making the awkward teenage experience that we all were a part of that much more difficult. But let's talk about younger kids, kids who are in grade school. You know, what are some of the mental health issues that elementary school age children are dealing with?
I mean, I think anxiety is a really big piece for young children. I think our environments are very different. Kids, you know, have a lot more stress put on them, whether that's their own stress or family stress. And so I do think we see a lot of anxiety. And in kids, that really can be sometimes somatic symptoms, right? So they're saying like, oh, gosh, I have a stomach ache. I can't go to school today because my head hurts. I think kids express themselves in a different way. So whether it's anxiety or they're just feeling down or low, it can come out in more of the physical symptoms. So it's really good to be cognizant of that. I think our society is a stressful society at times, right? And so kids can feed off of that. And so if things are really stressful at home or school or, you know, in sports, all of these other things, they feel that and they do see that. And I think that's what we're seeing in the younger population.
On the addiction component, we talked about how part of the origin story of the Crisis Recovery Center is the opioid epidemic that went in all sorts of different directions. And then we talked a little bit about the, you know, people drinking more as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. But what is the face of addiction in DuPage County right now? Is it narcotics or is it alcohol?
I think it's both. I think it's definitely both. There's combinations absolutely involved. But when you say the face of it, I think it's important to say that the face of it is a teacher. It's a firefighter. It's people in professional life that are struggling with this. It's not somebody who's necessarily, you know, the stereotypical people will say, well, that guy's on something. He's on the street. He's doing this. People in everyday life, mental health and addiction do not discriminate. It doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter where you live. None of that matters. It can affect anybody.
You're listening to At Issue on WBBM News Radio. We're talking with Lori Carnahan, Deputy Director of Behavioral Health at the DuPage County Health Department, and Deborah Conroy, the DuPage County Board Chair. Now, from a whole of government approach, how does the Crisis Recovery Center that's opening in Wheaton on September 2nd, how does this fit in with the infrastructure that exists, not only on the county level in DuPage County, but within municipalities? How does this fit into the police framework? How does this fit into first responders? How does this fit into the hospital infrastructure that exists in DuPage County?
Well, we consider them all to be stakeholders in this process, partners in this process. I think this is going to help emergency rooms. You know, we welcome everyone, whether you have private insurance, whether you have Medicaid, or whether you're uninsured. This is going to take a lot of burden off of emergency rooms because folks with Medicaid, they may not take Medicaid. It's harder and more of a challenge to deal with. We'll deal with that. We will help those folks find their path to recovery. We're not going to discriminate on those levels. So that's incredibly important. Police and fire know that they can bring them to our facility instead of taking them to the ER, instead of taking them to jail. You know, we're very fortunate because on our campus, we have our own police force. We have our own jail system. It's all right there. So we, you know, there's an integration there that we're looking forward to really building, that kind of partnership between our own jail system in DuPage County and this Crisis Recovery Center. We have an amazing mental health and addiction court in DuPage County, and this is probably the next step in making sure that we're taking care of folks, because mental health and addiction are diseases. They're not crimes.
You outlined the sources of funding that got this Crisis Recovery Center off the ground, but it could potentially save money in other governmental agencies by taking certain things off of their budgets because the Crisis Recovery Center is taking care of them instead.
Absolutely. And it's our hope that, you know, within the first year, we'll be being very conscientious about keeping statistics so that we can go back and show the hospital systems just how much we're saving them. And I believe they'll be supportive in return of us. And that's a partnership that I think will be very valuable in terms of growing this center.
Now, this center could serve roughly 42 patients per day, potentially tens of thousands of people per year. And Lori, what type of types of treatment are available? Is it counseling? Is it referrals for medication? What can someone expect if they avail themselves of the services that are there?
So we do offer a wide variety of services. Basically, when somebody walks into the Crisis Recovery Center, they're going to meet with somebody with lived experience to be able to engage, to talk through what's going on. We have crisis counselors on staff. We have community support specialists, which helps link to ongoing services and really assess not only what their mental health or substance use needs are, but are there other needs that need to be addressed that we can link to other community organizations. We have nurses, we have prescribers available. So if somebody needs a medication evaluation, they can get that while they're there. So really the overall goal is to bring all of these services to the person at that time in crisis so they don't have to worry about where do I go for this or who do I talk to about this. The staff is there, that whole team of individuals is there to be able to say, okay, what do you need? How do we help? And how do we get you to the next steps in your recovery? So, you know, when they're walking out the door, they're not walking out the door with just a card that says, you know, call this outpatient service or follow up with this individual. It is, what is that appointment date and time? Can we call you tomorrow to make sure that happened? Do you need help with transportation? How do we get you there? You know, so it really is that warm handoff to ongoing services.
And does that level of commitment exist elsewhere, or is this something that is really unique to DuPage County?
It is really unique to DuPage County. It's a new model. We did a ton of research on this. Like Deb said, this has been a collaborative effort. everybody has been at the table. We've been meeting with the hospital systems and police and fire for years on this. What does our community need? So when we went to see a lot of this model across the country, we took pieces of different models because nothing was an exact fit for our community because we're a unique community just like many others are. It is really, how do we do this together and make it fit best for us? And so this is the model that we came up with, and this will work for DuPage County, and we are really confident that we've created a model that can be replicated.
And Deb, this is going to be a part of the DuPage County government facility in Wheaton. And in some ways, did that make this easier to get off the ground? Because there have been a number of stories about municipalities across the Chicago area where someone wants to establish an addiction recovery center, maybe an inpatient addiction recovery center, and then the municipality votes it down because of public pressure. The fact that it's on the campus in Wheaton, did that make it easier to establish?
We didn't have any. We didn't face any barriers in that regard in terms of stigma or NIMBY type of situations. Wheaton and Winfield have both been very supportive of this, and it is right on our campus. And the building is actually attached to that current health department building, so it really is just a continuum of care. And it's really that piece of a comprehensive mental health and addiction healthcare system that's missing.
And then going forward on the funding component, how can you make sure that this level of care exists 5 years from now, but also you can build upon it?
Well, that's going to be, it's a very large focus of my board and a very big priority. We have opioid funds that we are getting, which we feel is it's a perfect fit for this. The board will continue to prioritize it because it's that important. We also have a fundraising arm, and we have found that there are many people that really want to help in that regard. So we feel pretty comfortable that we'll be able to continue to maintain this level of care, and it will only grow. And, you know, in DuPage, we understand it's okay not to be okay. It's not okay to have nowhere to go. And in DuPage, we have somewhere to go.
Now, Lori, this seems like an effort that if it is successful, it could provide a national model. So day one is on September 2nd. How are you approaching opening day? Are you excited about the possibilities to help people, or is there a little bit of trepidation as well that you want to serve everybody who is in need, but that you're kind of concerned that you can't?
Yeah, I think it's definitely more excitement. This is such an this has been a long time effort. The planning that has gone into this, the development, the partnerships, it's a huge lift, and it's a really exciting time. We are really doing something in DuPage County that hasn't been done, and we are transforming the way that people are going to receive crisis care. So, you know, all of those things of, gosh, is it big enough? You know, do we need more of these? All of those questions that, you know, we've really planned for a starting point to say, we think and we know that we are going to meet needs for three very specific populations, for adults having a mental health crisis, for youth having a mental health crisis, and for adults with substance use crisis happening. So, you know, from there, we'll be actively looking at data, really trying to understand what the volumes are, what the needs are. This is a new model, so it's something that we're going to learn from, but we're very, very confident that this is going to be a successful model.
And then, Deb, is this a situation where if we were to reconvene a year from now, would you say, boy, we thought we knew a lot, but thanks to a year's worth of experience, there was so much we didn't know?
I think the best part about this collaboration is that we know what we know, and we also know we're going to come into things that we don't expect, right? So we're covering our bases every way we can. I have a great relationship with our legislators in Springfield, both in the House and in the Senate, and the leaders know that, you know, this is a brand new model, and we may come across things where we need legislation to help us, particularly in the insurance and Medicaid arenas, and we're prepared for that. So we're going to, just like with COVID, we're going to adjust and we're going to fix whatever challenges that we face.
DuPage County Board Chair Deborah Conroy and DuPage County Health Department Deputy Director of Behavioral Health Services Lori Carnahan, thank you for joining us on this week's edition of At Issue. If you want to hear the program again, you can find it at WBBMNewsRadio.com, the Odyssey app, and now the iHeartRadio app. Join us again. Join us. Join us next week for another edition of At Issue. I'm Rob Hart, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.